Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Earl Morgan Hour. Brace yourself.
Hello, GoPro audience. It's Wednesday night, 7 p.m., so this must be the Earl Morgan Hour. I'm here with my co-host, Tenya Bland. How are you doing tonight, Tenya?
Fantastic. How are you on this fine summer evening?
They're talking about 17 degrees tonight. I don't know. We have with us tonight in the studio Esther Wintner, who is a who heads the Civic JC, and she will be talking about that organization and other things she's been involved in. Esther ran for the Ward B Council seat unsuccessfully twice before taking the reins of Civic JC, and she is a constant presence among those who raise their voice and insist on being heard in a number of areas. But before we bring Esther on, there are several matters that we want to make you aware of, including a town hall meeting Saturday, March 21st at the Metropolitan AME Church, 140 Belmont Avenue in Jersey City. That's on the corner of Belmont and Bergen Avenue. It's going to be a town hall called by BITE. Now, you may not be familiar with BITE, but the town hall meeting will afford you an opportunity to remedy that. BITE is an organization that is has been founded to change things among the African-American community drastically, because we really need some drastic change. And in fact, I have in hand the organization's newsletter, and really it's like a manifesto. And we're going to read this on the air so that you can take for your own edification what BITE is all about. And let me start with some news from the Black Interest Team Enterprise, which is what BITE is. Black, B as in black, I as in interest, T as in team, and E as in enterprise, which is BITE. And let me read this. The melting pot is boiling. Our America's 400-year-old undercurrent of overt and institutionalized racism has once again reached the point where it is at the forefront of our national consciousness. Discussions and debates about autopsies, juries, and evidence obscure this fundamental fact that black males and consciously the word men was not used because black male children are equally as vulnerable are viewed as criminal threats, code word thugs. That's in quotes. Some in the white world perceive fear justifies the treatment. Some in the white world's perceived fear justifies this treatment, whether it is stop and frisk or stand your ground or outright shoot to kill. This is the reality African Americans have lived with since 1619, when the first Africans were brought here to Jamestown, Virginia. To actually work as indentured servants, and somehow we got around to moving from that to slavery. To continue, we have arrived at a moment which we cannot miss. The frustration and anger that is evident in protests across the country, and not about a single verdict, the cry Black Lives Matter is a cry to be seen and heard in a justice and economic system that is not working. Endless testimonies in social media, in the workplace, at home, in church, at the doctor's office, at the hair salon, at the barbershop, bear witness to the anger, pain, and frustration felt. When Congressman Meeks speaks of how he rolls down all windows in his car when stopped by police in order to avoid any risk to his life, by an officer who may be overtly suspicious because he is a black man, something is deadly wrong, and it needs to be fixed. When young black males are 21 more times more likely to be shot and killed by police than their white counterparts, We are talking about this because 21 more likely is not by chance. It's not random. Read ProPublica's deadly force in black and white. And ProPublica is a is an online publication, which is something that you should take a look at on your computer to continue again. But we are not powerless. This crisis presents an opportunity to make an impact on diminishing the murder count and making positive changes for the future of all people. The Black Interest Team Enterprise works tirelessly to create changes we long to see. Our advocacy and human services are the tools we use. We are also committed to nonviolent expression in resisting systems that appear built to fail poor people and minorities. We believe every murder is too much, whether related to drug crimes, domestic violence, or police brutality. Every murder is one too many. To continue, if we can speak of such things, perhaps a silver lining in this anguished national conversation is that we are getting a glimpse of the dialogue that goes on in living rooms and kitchens in black households across the country. Every year we speak with young adults in youth programs, making sure someone has helped them learn to channel the humiliation and frustration of racially charged police interactions. Young black men especially are vulnerable. This is a hard reality. It is hard to find the language to address this. Many people of color do not raise this to some of their white counterparts, but if we bring the conversation to the public, if our white allies, and we have many of them incidentally, our white allies too can listen to the pain and stand with us to demand change, perhaps we can find some element of salvation in the crucible. For those of you who do not identify as people of color, there is no time like the present for us all to listen to people whose experience informs this conversation. Consider the fact that just because you do not understand why people of color are angry, this does not mean they are angry for no reason. Not experiencing the burdens and inequities created by structural racism does not negate their existence. To those who are angry, we understand and simply ask you to have the courage to raise your voice, to be a part of the process, to risk the vulnerability like those who speak up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and blogs, to local nonviolent protest gatherings and in rolling up their sleeves to make the community change we seek. Let us educate our children and young people of both sexes on how to de-escalate any interaction with police. We need to register and vote. The Black Interest Team Enterprise has grown out of just this kind of crucible, decrying racism and working for justice for all. Our work is far from done. We will march until victory is won. You are invited and encouraged to attend the Black Interest Team Enterprise, that's BITE, B-I-T-E, Town Hall Meeting at Metropolitan AME Zion Church, 140 Belmont Avenue, Jersey City, New Jersey, on Saturday, March 21st, 2015 at 3 p.m. Sincerely, the Black Interest Team Enterprise, BITE. You also have the BITE mission statement. I think we should read that also to the audience.
The underpinning of the coalition is for this group of leaders to convene for the sole purpose of addressing the social, economic, and educational issues which disenfranchise and impact the moral fiber of its citizens. These issues shall be resolved through a collaborative effort of the coalition and the efforts of its established think tank of qualified experts in all categories undertaken by the coalition. We have been created to protect and speak out for the interests of the underserved.
Let me ask you this. BITE is a relatively new organization. Can you tell us, since you are a member of BITE, incidentally, my co-host is very much involved in BITE. Could you tell us something about who the other people involved in it are?
Well, I would like to introduce you to a member of the think tank.
And who would that be?
Our resident journalist, Mr. Earl Morton.
Well, thank
you. Can you please tell us how we got started?
Well, we got started because of the Croson study, the disparity study. something that everybody in Jersey City should be aware of, and minorities especially, because it's all about disparities minorities have experienced in getting any of the contracts, wealth, things that the city, all the money that the city spends, which is nearly $1 billion a year. And it, according to the disparity study that was paid for by the taxpayers of Jersey City, the minorities, that's African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, that it even includes Native Americans, and we have very, very few of them around here, left, how they have been disenfranchised from city dollars, whether it's subcontracts, purchasing, or anything else, employment, everything. And this is a very long, I mean, what is this thing, about 800 pages maybe?
Yeah,
it is a very long document to tell you that you've gotten very little, if anything, from the city. And it covers a period of from 2002 to 2009. Now, that doesn't mean that in that small period we have, that was the only time we didn't get it. That was as far as they went back.
Right. The study was taken for this short period of time.
Because they could go back decades.
Easily.
And find out that this problem has existed all that time.
So everything you knew, they did a study, and now it is tangible.
Yes. Now they can't say that, you know, minorities are whining and they're not doing anything, because it's, this study shows exactly why, how, and who has been left out, excluded.
Yes.
And so what BITE did, when we started, we decided we have to find a way to influence the mayor into doing something about this, or the city. So he has kind of belatedly, but finally came around and created a committee to study this, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And so BITE wanted to make sure, we wanted to make sure that there was someone capable and well, actually, had the experience to be able to go on a group like that and to watch out for our interests. So, actually, Tina Bland, who has so much to do with, suggested Joseph Charles, Judge Joseph Charles, Superior Court Judge, Hudson County Superior Court Judge Joseph Charles, to fill that particular niche. We approached him, and he agreed. Now, you have to understand, Judge Charles has been a Jersey City resident all his life. He went to the public schools here. He got a scholarship to college at Rutgers. He was a chemistry major, didn't like chemistry, so he went back and got him a law degree. And eventually he became an assemblyman, then a state senator for a brief time, and then a Superior Court judge. So that's how BITE got started. And we brought some people together to discuss what we were going to do. And some very, very interesting things developed out of it, which mainly was BITE.
Exactly. And on the 21st of March at 3 p.m., we invite all to come out, because we have a team of very heavy hitters that are not going to ask you to just sit down and listen. No, this is a call to order for all of us to participate and get things done in our city.
Okay. We're just about on a break, and after the break, we will be here. Esther Wintner will join us at the GoPro microphone. I think you're going to find Esther to be a very, very interesting and knowledgeable person.
Absolutely.
I think she missed her call, and she should have been an investigative reporter.
I think so.
I mean, this woman is something. So just stick there. Don't go nowhere. We shall be right back.
Good or bad, you don't need to hang your head. Gotta make a move instead. Don't be mad. There's always a way to get everything to positive.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Thank you. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have an event, product, service, talent, or something important to say, now is your chance. You can have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation and following, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We can help you grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own professional radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen, the voice is in your head.
Back with the Earl Morgan Hour on GoPro Radio, and we have in our studios tonight Esther Whitner, who is a local activist here in Jersey City, and who has some very interesting things to tell us, and some interesting experiences here. Esther's she's the president now of Civic JC.
Civic JC, correct.
Right. And you haven't been there, I think, September you began.
I started, in September, exactly.
Right. And, first of all, tell us something about Civic JC. What does Civic JC stand for? What does it do?
Right, to a person who doesn't know, because this is a very vocal group.
Right.
Well, first, before we start, I just would like to say thank you, Mr. Morgan, for having me on your show. This is very exciting for me, and I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be sitting here with you in the room. But anyway, Civic JC has been was founded about, I think, 2006 by a group of people in Jersey City, Aaron Morrow, Andrew Hubsch, a few people. And their purpose and what they did was focus on good governance. And they looked at different models of things, and they were very vocal at one time in terms of what they believe we should see in the city. Their big claim to fame, I guess, would be the pay-to-play laws that they tried to institute in Jersey City and were successful in doing that. It was the Civic JC group that brought this initiative to Jersey City at a time when we started seeing people in the state, different municipalities bringing pay-to-play into the realm. So I think it was around that time when there was kind of a joining between Civic JC and then Councilman Phillip and John Theroff who then supported Civic JC by helping them to get this referendum on the ballot. And it was finally put into place. The purpose of Civic JC has been to help with good governance, help with ideas outside of the box in terms of good governance, policy in Jersey City, things that they see and need. And I would say that the group started to become a little inactive for a while. And about a year ago, Aaron Morrow, who is the founder of Civic JC, resurrected the organization. And some of us got together and we started working on trying to get it lively and get it working. And it's kind of like bringing an engine, you oil it, and you start moving it, and it takes a little while for it to run, but we started doing something. Back in the fall, Aaron, who runs a business in Jersey City, asked me if I would assume that role because he had some other things going on. It had become a little difficult for him as a business owner and being vocal and I being, you know, having a lot of energy and having a lot of energy and, you know, and doing that, the group thought that I would be a good person to assume that position.
And boy, were they right.
So one of the things, I mean, it's hard. It's a lot. And then we ran into the holidays and it was just some administrative things that we're trying to take care of. One of the things that I'd like to do with Civic JC is to expand its scope so that it's not so downtown focused, which it has historically been focused on downtown area. And so if we could open that up, make it a little broader, bring in new members that might be from different parts of the city, because it is a big place. It's a very diverse city. So what might work in certain parts of the city might not work in other parts of the city. And when you're thinking of policy, what would be a good policy that would work for every, you know, that would benefit the greater good? So that's what we're trying to do with Civic JC.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, so that the audience understands what we're talking about when we say pay to play. That is very important. And the reason why that is important is the way that our politicians, I don't care whether it's in Washington, in the State House or Jersey City or Hudson County, they're financing their campaigns on what we call pay to play. In other words, somebody wants something from the government. Let's say they want a project. They want to do a development or something. So they come into the city and they put their ideas out there to the redevelopment agency or wherever, and they get a project. Ultimately, some politician gets a check for their campaign chest from that developer, and it's gotten to the point where they were calling the shots here, and you know it was really getting to be because Jersey City was growing, especially downtown. All the developers were piling on; they all wanted abatement, and to the point,
and they still do.
Yeah, to the point that Jerry Healy admitted to me on the stage of the Lowe's Theater that he had to give out abatements because he couldn't run for office without them.
Exactly.
Which was an amazing admission.
He was honest about it.
That I will give him. So we had a pay-to-play policy put in place, but now we're still giving out abatements.
Right.
What's that about? I mean, our mayor said, Mayor Steve Fuller, told us it would be different. Do you see any difference?
Do I see any difference? I see some difference, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with those differences. If you've read any of the reports regarding the use of abatements, which many people have read, people who are activists are focused on this, and you read them and you understand that abatements serve a purpose. And having an abatement is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a tool that you use to help develop your city. And and you should use it accordingly. So when we got when Mayor Fulop came out with the protocol, the policy, the abatement policy, and you read through it, what you found was, yes, there was a policy, but it didn't necessarily, you know, there were still five-year abatements downtown on the waterfront. The areas that you might feel that would need the biggest development or the biggest incentive for development didn't have the longest number of years in terms of abatement, because they kind of work inversely, right? The greater the need, the longer the abatement, because you want, because the incentive has to be bigger. So we saw a lot of focus on Journal Square. And Journal Square, outside of the waterfront, is probably the most valuable area of property in Jersey City because of its proximity to the PATH train. Right. So the notion that you would have a whole area that would receive, you know, I think it's 20 years, if I remember, okay, 20 years abatements, versus using that as an incentive to say, okay, the first one who comes in will get your 20 years, but the second developer that wants to come in will get a reduced, so you stagger them. It's called staggering, or in the industry, you know, we do that with bonds. It's called laddering, so that they don't all come due around the same time, and you decrease that so that you drive the incentive, and it's not so difficult on the
Two things. One, we give abatements like crazy here. I mean, downtown, there are 30-year abatements. I think a better way to deal with this with the public is a tax break. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tax break. A developer comes in and says, I want to build this, but I need a tax break in order to make this work. There's something that I always say, the other side of that is, well, we still get a budget every year that has to be paid, a city budget, from our property taxes. And when this guy gets a tax break over here and he's not paying as much as the rest of us, we have to make that up. So we're often caught paying very rich people, billionaires often, to get these tax breaks, and we're like gerbils on a wheel running faster and faster to pay.
I think it's also important to know about the abatement policy is that there is a buy-up program. So if your property falls in a geographic area that might be eligible for 10 years, but you want to extend that, you can pay into, you can buy up for a longer time if you, and I don't remember the details, you know, pay into a certain fund or whatever that is. The point of the matter is you have a policy and it's changed. You can change it if you can pay for it, okay? So it's like not having a policy at all. We're not talking about exceptional things or something. You know, we're just talking about that this is built into the policy.
Well, what got me when this all started, and I was there when it all started, it started with Newport. When Glimpse said that they needed $40 million, $50 million to do the project in federal money, they got a UDAG grant, Urban Development Action Grant, from the federal government, which was supposed to be for, you know, restructuring inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the grant, they gave the Jersey City the grant. They got the check for $50 million. Our mayor, Jerry McCann, handed it over to Simon and Lefrak, two different billionaires who took $50 million of our money and built the waterfront. Now, whether you like it or not, that investment was clearly a good investment. It paid off. The problem is because they also gave him not only the money, but a tax abatement. Now, everybody coming behind them said, well, to be competitive to them, you have to give us an abatement.
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep giving these things out. And it doesn't seem to be any. The latest one, and you said at Journal Square, they want to build a 75-story building.
That's pretty high.
And they're going to get an abatement, too. And now we're starting in Journal Square. If they get an abatement, why not give it to everybody else?
Well, the argument that you hear often in City Hall from many of the developers is, I won't be able to do my development because I can't compete with that. And my feeling is that we the taxpayer, are not here to subsidize developers. And, you know, you take the risk.
We have to take a break. I want to come right back. Don't lose that.
Okay.
We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is good. This is good. This is what people need to hear.
This is what we need to talk about.
Yeah. You know,
you're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network. the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have an event, product, service, talent, or something important to say, now is your chance. You can have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation and following, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We can help you grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own professional radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Attention. Parents of children in Hudson County school districts, including Harrison, West New York, Jersey City, Hoboken, and Union City, you may qualify for free or low-cost child care. The Urban League of Hudson County is providing parents with the opportunity to apply for eligible for before and after school care for children 3 and 4 years old. Find out how. Come to our offices or call at 201-451-8888, extension 186. Urban League of Hudson County.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Earl Morgan Hour. Brace yourself.
Well, you know, we don't have to pay school taxes. I said, who the heck is we? I said, look, somebody got to pay the school. It's our school. We don't pay for them.
And we're back.
And we're back, and we're going to pick up right where we left off, talking about Journal Square, which is the new gold mine for abatements. Actually, there have been abatements up there. Joe Panapinto has the ADT building. I'm going to just give you the audience out there to show you how this works. I remember when his abatement on the ADT, and I like Joe Panapinto. I like a lot of the guys that are developers. I like them. But they're driving a harder bargain than the politicians are for themselves. That they're good businessmen. You can't argue about that. The politicians ought to be good businessmen for us. And what his 21-year abatement was up, which was interesting because I've never heard of an abatement blasting. Somehow they just go on into infinity. And so we're at a caucus, a council caucus, and the ADT people come in and demand another, not Joe Panapinto. The ADC people came in and demanded they get another 21 years. And they said, if you don't give us 21 years, we're going to leave. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, they're tenants. Now, Joe wasn't in the room. And they're saying, well, you know, we'll take all our jobs and we'll go away. Well, I go outside and Joe's in City Hall. And I said, Joe, why do you need another abatement? He said, well, you have to understand, I need new steps. I need new elevators, and I need a new roof. And I said, well, I need a new roof and I need new steps, but nobody's giving me an abatement, you know. And while he's telling me this, he's on the phone making an appointment with Frank Guarini for the Casa Dante. I said, well, gee, you guys really are having it tough these days.
You're struggling.
And they gave it to him. Guess what? ADT left.
Really?
Yeah. They're gone. And I said, Joe, he said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, well, do what everybody else with a property they want to rent says. Put up a sign that says, you know, office space for rent. You know, why do we have to pay for it? And that's what happens very often. These things get self-perpetuating and they don't stop. And as far as I know, Lefrak and the people down at the waterfront are still, that abatement has elapsed, but it's still continuing.
Well, there was one that recently expired. I don't think that they renewed that one. I'm not certain. One of the Towers of America.
Oh, yeah.
And when you heard, and this is, you know, I haven't verified this. This is just my thought, that last year when Mayor Fuller talked about the new ratable on the roll, and I couldn't, and there was like an incredible amount, right? What I believe what happened was when the abatement expired on those buildings, Towers of America, and they went on the tax rolls, that's why it showed a higher ratable base. not necessarily that something had done. We were just, you know, it was the right place at the right time. The thing expired, and it goes on the tax roll. So I don't believe that they renewed that, but I think in certain instances, maybe perhaps the one that you're talking about, it becomes too painful for the municipality not to renew it because they will lose a portion of that money. It's not necessary so much that the developer is paying that much less. A couple of things that he gets something stable, like he knows what he's paying, he or she, whereas we don't know, like come reval time, what happens to us.
Because they're safer.
Right, they're safer.
They don't have that problem.
It might be a little bit more, you know, lesser than if they paid the county and the school tax and all of that. But the municipality likes it. They get all of it.
Well, that's the problem. Well, see, the other thing is that when it's a commercial building, there's no property tax assessment for public schools there. When it's a residential building, mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. So we have built dozens of condos. Every condo gets an abatement. I remember talking to one of the Hudson County prosecutors. He lives downtown. His abatement lapsed, right? And he's crying to me about how high his taxes went. I said, well, welcome to my world. You know, we're living with this anyway. I said, what did you think was going to happen? You can't continuously get this forever. And the whole idea was to give you the guys time enough to make some money. Well, it's over. Your condo now has to pay what the rest of us pay. Yes, it's high. I know. I'm paying. You know.
We feel your pain.
Yes.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome to my world. So you now have a building going up in Journal Square, and they're building it right now, 75 stories. It's going to be the largest building in the state. And our mayor seems to have a penchant for large buildings. I think he wants to rival Manhattan and the structures mm-hmm. and the sizes of them.
Could you tell that by the statement, the fifth borough?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not all that interested in being the fifth borough. I love New York, but I don't want to be the fifth borough. And that building will not pay any school tax. However, they will have children who will go to the school.
Correct.
But they won't pay for it. And that, so who's going to pay?
Who's been paying?
Me, myself, and I.
And I don't think people understand that. We often talk, Tina and I, we have to have some kind of a meeting where people can understand how these things work, because it's costing a lot of money, and we're struggling to pay the taxes. You know, fortunately we dodged this reval. If we sooner or later we got to have it. It's just got to happen. And then in neighborhoods like downtown, where we live, we are going to get hammered because we're the new place. We're on what they call Bergen Hill now, which is becoming the place.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I'm thinking they're going to kill us.
I think the people downtown are really going to be in for a rude awakening when
that
happens.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have an abatement.
If they don't have an abatement. Because if you have an abated property, you would not be affected by the reval.
But the other part of it is that you're talking about commercial buildings. I mean, we're talking about Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. I mean, you know, these guys, their lunch money is more money than most of us will ever see in our lives. Why do we have to give them an abatement? They seem to be flush with cash. If you move here from New York, you lived in New York, I believe.
I grew up in New York.
Con Ed bills are a lot higher than public service bills. Water bills are a lot higher in New York City than they. You're already getting a break. So why do we have to give them people who are rich, and I mean rich, that we're talking now about that 0.5% or 1% at the top. Why should I give them my money? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I mean, I think to a certain extent, like we talked about, not all abatements are bad, or, you know, like there's certain things. I think to a certain extent it's a good thing for Jersey City and for the state to have some type of development because it does bring in those jobs. Those jobs might not necessarily be jobs that people in Jersey City are holding, though that would be...
Well, usually they move here, they bring their own people.
Right, they bring their own people, but of course that would be the best, you know, the most ideal situation. But with that does come money into... some revenue into the city and revenue into the state. which is important for us. I mean, you have to look at it on different levels, too. So it's not necessarily that bringing in companies or bringing in businesses is a bad thing. But it's when you start handing out the abatements, you really need to do that judiciously, right? You can't just sit there and say, next, next, next. You need to understand what the long-term impact is going to have on the residents, on the property owners, especially the small property owners, because, you know...
That is, unless you're looking for a campaign contribution.
Yeah, well, that's getting back to the pay-to-play. Exactly, and that's, you know, how Civic JC brought that into play. And now when I see the pay-to-play, and what people realize is that there are ways to get around it, right? You know, you can bounce. Money is fungible, and you can bounce around. And there are times when I think to myself, you know what? I almost prefer it when it was in your face, because then you
yeah,
know.
They didn't sneak it past.
You did, because it almost, like, it seems like it takes good people and they do things that are not so good because they want that money. It's tempting, you know. They want to run for other office. They want to do other things, so they might just, like, bounce that money around.
Well, a good example of that, I once went to the city council president and said, we have a tax abatement committee, which is made up of all of the city department heads. And they meet, and they're usually presided over by the city council president. It used to be what they, I think they still do. And they call it the Tax Something Committee. Glenn Cunningham gave it a new name, the Tax Abatement Committee. And I went to the city, one of the city council presidents. He's gone now. And I said, I'd like to see the notes from the last abatement meeting, tax abatement committee meeting. So he goes in his desk and he pulls out this yellow legal pad. And he says, I said, no, I want to see the notes. He said, these aren't the notes. I said, well, don't you have any formal notes? No, you don't have any.
Where are the minutes?
Yeah, there are no minutes. So I said, well, how do you decide how are you going to give these things out? And nobody votes. They reach a consensus.
Exactly.
And I said, consensus? I mean, so nobody's hands on the dirty deed. You know, nobody is nobody is responsible. But they're all city council. They're all city. They all work for the mayor. Now, what do you do? There was one. I don't know if you know what is her name. Glenn Cunningham put this woman on from Jersey City State College in those days, now Jersey City State University, New Jersey. Christine Carmenieri. Christine went on. He asked her to come on to represent the people. Christine got so disgusted because they won't do any affordable housing and anything. She was going to quit. Glenn begged her not to quit. So she didn't quit right away. But she finally had enough. And she left and she wrote him a letter. She wrote the committee a letter. She sent me a copy of it. And she said, I can't do this anymore. And that's what prompted me to find out what it is they're doing in there. Because at one point, they would have the meetings but not allow the public to come in. However, the lawyers for the developers could be in there. So much for this. I have to say that in Jersey City, you can make water flow uphill. And this is one of those
entertaining
instances.
Place.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Think,
great report. As a reporter, you got to love it.
But I
think the point is we are not anti-abatement.
No.
Because as an initiative, it works. But the length of some of these abatements, the fact that Jersey City ICE do not receive employment in the numbers that they should, where these long-term abatements are. And the fact that it seems as if Jersey City never says no to any abatement.
They never saw an abatement they didn't love.
Right.
You know.
It's the problem.
And it's killing our schools.
And now we've done away with the abatement committee.
Oh, it doesn't exist anymore?
I don't believe it does.
Oh,
because
boy.
I remember asking about this policy at a council meeting, and the councilwoman, Diane Coleman said, no, now we have a policy now. So you fill out the form and it would go through this procedure. And I remember saying to her, well, the policy is flawed, you know?
Well,
but now, and
crying.
McGreevy now is the abatement compliance person. If I last I checked,
actually he was supposed to be in charge of the compliance office that wanted to, that was supposed to assure us that the developers were keeping the labor agreement, project labor agreements, and hiring Jersey City people. But he's not there anymore, and they hired a new guy. And they fired him 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. We are really getting into some really interesting stuff here. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
And now it's done.
Yeah.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a great opportunity. If you have an event, product, service, talent, or something important to say, now is your chance. You can have your very own radio show. Whether you're just starting out or a veteran looking for a professional platform to enhance your presentation and following, the GoPro Radio Network is the premier place to cultivate and share new and exciting content. We can help you grow your audience and keep it growing long after your first broadcast. Now you have a voice. Call 212-696-8562 or visit www.goproradio.com and you'll be amazed at how easy and affordable it is to have your very own professional radio show on the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Earl Morgan Hour. Brace yourself.
How did they find out about that?
Now when I do my outfits, I write, hi, Paul, on the side.
Well, that's why I don't like them. I don't like them because, you know, we're talking about Oprah's here. And Oprah is an Open Public Records Act. Now, you know, I've been around so long, I hate to admit it, but I was there before. There was an Open Public or Sunshine Law. Mm-hmm. Oh, those were the good old days. And now if you want to see anything, they call themselves in the state revising the Oprah Law to make it better. Well, now anything I wanted to see that I used to be able to see, I got to write an Oprah for. I'll give you an example. If you're going to get a raise in Jersey City, if the politicians or the department head wants to give you a raise, no problem. But you have to file a CS6 form. That's a civil service 6 form, which is that you're asking for a raise for this employee. Now, I used to be able to go down to the city clerk's office and tell Bob Byrne, Bob, let me see the CS6 forms for this month. He said, okay. I sit down, and I go through them. I find out who got the money. Can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I got to Oprah it, and that takes weeks.
What shouldn't take me? Not something as simple as that.
I had to actually go to the city council one time, and I've never done this before. I told them, if I don't get this information, I'm going to sue you, and I'm going to take it to the state.
I was at that council meeting.
Yeah, I said, this is ridiculous. I said, I'm not coming here because I'm just a crank. I know what happened before, and I know what's happening now. And this is not, you know, you're going to give me this information, or there is an office in the state which is there to make sure you get the information. And I said, I'm going to take the city to task, and I'll file a complaint. And the council sat there like they didn't know what I was talking about because they didn't know what I was talking about. And it's just ridiculous, you know. And not only that, but you, Esther, and your ilk are filing these Oprah requests so fast they can't handle them anymore. So you fix them. Oh, you want me to file an Oprah? All right, I'll do one every 15 minutes.
You know,
it's
kind of like a standing joke. We were going to file an Oprah to see how many Oprahs were outstanding.
And this, again, is Open Public Records Act.
Right. I mean, I've had a couple of Oprahs. Are we on the air, by the way?
No. Yes.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Okay. I've had a couple of Oprahs denied. And one I kind of disagreed with. I said, they really shouldn't deny me on this. But you pick and choose your battles. And like you said, Jersey City is a very interesting place, a lot of things to look into. The couple of the Oprahs that I was denied, one had to do with public safety. I wanted to understand how the police officers were being allocated among the different precincts.
Yeah.
Because prior to the old administration, Chief Comey had the police mm-hmm. officers equally divided between the precincts.
Sure.
And our precinct, the West District, is one of the busiest precincts in the state.
No, it is the busiest precinct.
It is first or second, right. So that was something that we had talked about prior to the, you know, during the election, is that the police should be reallocated, redeployed.
Well, since that's where all the crime is.
Right.
You think
so I did an OPRAH to find out the number of police officers stationed in each precinct, because all I was looking for was the ratio.
Right.
I wasn't looking for names or anything like that. I was denied that OPRAH request. And the reason for denial, and I waited weeks for that, and I had to, like, call them. And I don't believe it was Mr. Burns' office. I believe it was, I don't know from where, maybe the police department. And so I got the denial, and the reason for it was that, you know, knowing that information could place people or things in harm's way. So I thought, all right, guys, that's fine. I'm on to other things. I already know my answer. The interesting thing, I just have to mention this before we go off the air, is that there's a neighborhood association out in Greenville. The South Greenville Neighborhood Association. And they'd been working with the police department on some projects over there. And then we were working very closely with them. So when there was a big sweep out in Greenville, there was a press release. And the press release said, you know, the police department has picked up, you know, 100 whatever drug dealers and worked very closely with the South Greenville Neighborhood Association. And this was published in the paper, published online. I wrote to the police department, you know, emailed or whatever. And I said, wait a minute, you wouldn't give me a ratio because you said that this could put people in harm's way. And now you take this neighborhood group of civilians,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you put them in the limelight, and you don't see a problem with this. You need to watch out for residents and civilians in the same way that you do for yourself. You really have to watch very closely how they do, and then you wonder, you know, the reasons behind that. And I still don't know my ratio. Don't have that number.
Years ago, when I was a reporter for Hudson Magazine, I went to the police director, and I asked him the same question, because they had more officers in the Heights than they had in our area. And he said, well, we get more calls in the Heights. And I said, yeah, but what kind of calls are they? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the guy's got he's locked out of his car, or he's locked out of his house, and they call 911. Where we live, when you call 911, you don't need a locksmith. You need a cop. You know, I mean, and an ambulance.
Right.
So,
we need to change the street lights in our neighborhoods. If you remember, that was a big issue for me. I really think that we need to start looking at the streetlights in Jersey City.
Sodium lights are not that terrible.
No, we need LED lighting, brighter, greener, more cost-efficient. We save money and illuminates the streets. And
the way we used to have, these things that we have now are not the lights we had when I was a kid.
Well,
I know
we had ours changed 2 years ago.
I know, because I used to read by those streetlights, unfortunately. We're out of time. We didn't get anywhere near where we wanted to get. Esther, you got to come back.
I'll come back.
You got to come back.
What's
we
the
just
email
touched
for
Tell
Civic
us how they
JC.
Can reach them, CivicJC.
info@civicjc.org.
Okay. Thanks a lot, folks. This went by fast. Thanks for listening to the Earl Morgan Hour with my co-host, Tina Bland. I can't do this show without her anymore. And thank you very much, Esther.
Thank you for
you
having me.
You are a troll, I can't tell you. All right,
thank
thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you next week.
To be continued.
Live with us next week. We'll see you then.